Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today, everybody. Adam Azer, Scott White, Al Melchior. We are podcasting under unusual circumstances, aren't we, guys?
Yeah, we're
certainly are.
Podcasting from a cave.
Yeah, we might sound a little weird today. Yeah. So here's what happened. We get into our usual podcast room. We're about to go on the air. Wham! Power go. What's up? Come back on?
It looked like it, yeah.
Oh, no, I don't think so. Not in our room. The power went out. So we had to go to a different room, which is within earshot of everybody here. So I apologize to everybody outside in the office who can hear us screaming at them. But we had to go to a different room, which means we might have to do a shorter show today. So let's get right to it. We've got a Fantasy Baseball Today video show live at noon Eastern. John Heyman is going to join us to talk about the latest trade stuff. The Mariners trying to make some moves, maybe for Zobrist, maybe for Price. And, of course, the power is back on now in our podcast through. But we're going to stick here. We're going to stick here because I'm not moving all the equipment again. I want to talk about Shin-Soo Choo. And I take responsibility for not talking more about Shin-Soo Choo because I've just always been like, yeah, he'll come around. He'll come around. But I don't know, guys, because since he sprained his ankle, that's 70 games, right around 70 games. 222, 341 on base, 341 slugging for Shin-Soo Choo. Could this be a lost season for Big League Chew?
I'm starting to have some concerns as well, and I've been like you. Oh, he'll come around. But he is 32 now, surprisingly. He's getting up there in years. And he did have a year much like this. I think it was 2011.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah, where...
But he rebounded that year, right?
But he had that weird military thing, right?
Right.
And there was also a DUI situation that year that I think affected him.
Yeah, it was the DUI.
He said affected him. So, yeah, there was some weird situation, circumstances going on there. But you never really know, like, you never really know what all went into it. He can point to whatever he wants to. We don't know why those numbers turned out the way they did. And here they are. He's doing very similar things at an age where decline is common, and then you throw in the ankle injury. Yeah, I finally did lower him in my rankings. He was top 12 for a long time. Now he's 26, which is still must own, but it's not necessarily start him every week, and it's definitely an admission that he may not bounce back.
Yeah, and before the ankle injury, he was batting .314, .432, .500 slugging percentage in 20 games. I think what's so alarming is that he only has 3 steals this year for a guy that we're used to seeing steal about 20 bases. And he DHs all the time. So I think the ankle's obviously an issue for Choo. Let's hope the All-Star break improves things. But I wanted to bring that up. Now, we're going to do some fill-in-the-blank. We're going to tell you about Danny Salazar, who's coming back soon, it looks like. And this is a mailbag show, so we have a lot of emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com and tweets as well. You can follow us on Twitter, at Al Melk, CBS, M-E-L-C, at CBS Scott White, at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R. Texas. Injuries, news, and notes. They activated Giovanni Soto. They called up J.P. Arencibia, who's catcher-eligible. And it looks like Arencibia is going to play some first base. Is he going to be an everyday first baseman?
I think he could be. I mean, I haven't seen anything to suggest it, but they DFA'd Carlos Pena. He's out of the way. I'm not sure who else is really around to steal playing time.
It's an interesting development.
It is. It would stink if for a Rangers fan. Arencibia is not an especially good offensive catcher. He has power, but that's basically it. So at first base, that stinks for them. But in fantasy, if he is getting everyday at-bats as a catcher and is providing that power, then you're talking about, I think, a clear number two catcher in roto leagues.
Yeah, I think he will put up kind of Mike Zunino-like numbers.
Yeah.
So that would put him, in the number two catcher range.
Would you rather have Chirinos or Arencibia?
Ugh. I think I would rather have Arencibia.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah, here's the thing about Chirinos. Giovanni Soto's off the DL, too. So
yeah, good point, yeah.
I'm guessing Chirinos is going to be a backup. Soto was intended to be the starter from the beginning and was very good in a part-time role last year for the Rangers.
But Steven Vogt ahead of Arencibia?
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so keep an eye on J.P. Arencibia. There you go. Danny Salazar could be starting Tuesday for the Cleveland Indians. How about that? Would you rather have Danny Salazar or Trevor Bauer?
I mean, I'd rather be rostering Bauer, but in terms of this week, I think I'd probably rather have Salazar.
The rest of the season, you're going Bauer.
You know, I mean, it's as soon as I said that, I thought, you know, I've been stashing Salazar all this time, so I clearly do believe in him.
Do you think?
I worry more about the about Salazar actually staying in the Indians rotation. So yeah, rest of season, I trust Bauer to get more innings.
Do you think Bauer is going to be to get better than he's been? Because right now, 140 WHIP. About
yeah, no, I think he'll be better.
You think
that.
He'll be better?
Yeah,
because I was thinking, like, if Salazar is back to where he was last year, as a lot of these reports claim, that's better than we've seen from Bauer.
Yeah,
so
that's why I kind of caught myself and hesitated, because performance wise, I actually do expect better things from Salazar than I do from Bauer.
Mm.
But I think Salazar maybe is on the Kevin Gausman shuttle, Cleveland version.
I think if it's a league where Bauer's already out there, it's worth taking the shot on Salazar instead. But if I wouldn't necessarily drop Bauer for Salazar, because then there's a chance you could own both, maybe.
So Salazar's owned in 36% of our leagues. Compare him to guys like Jacob deGrom, Ruby De La Rosa, Shane Green, who are owned in around the same amount of leagues. If they're all out there, you're going Salazar over deGrom and Shane Green and Ruby De La Rosa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Green's very far, far in the back of that list. Right. The other two are closer.
Houston Street told MLB Network Radio he expects to be traded. I'm going to ask John Heyman about that noon Eastern time fantasy baseball today. You can catch it on demand if you can't catch it live. And I guess Joaquin Benoit needs to be added here?
Not necessarily, because there were rumors earlier that he might be traded too.
Yeah. Well,
notice Kevin Quackenbush getting picked up in leagues. I'm not sure that's the guy to target, but I think you just watch the situation and, you know, just watch it keenly and make a move when the picture gets clearer.
Seattle being linked to Marlon Byrd, David Price, and Ben Zobrist. Matt Kemp says he'd be open to being traded if he can't play every day with the Dodgers, and he wants to play center field. That's not going to happen with the Dodgers, it seems. Anthony Rendon doesn't watch baseball because he says it's too long and boring.
Maybe he needs to be more exciting then.
Yeah, Anthony.
You're make the one putting happen on the show.
I can't entirely disagree with him.
I don't watch fantasy baseball today because it's too long and boring.
Oh, Scott.
I don't watch it because, you know, I'm on it.
I watch it. And we're back. Our power went out again. You probably didn't know it, but it did, and that was fun. So moving on anyway, after Anthony Rendon's comments, Gene Segura will be back this weekend. Dexter Fowler nearing a return, but it will not be today. Seattle keeping Taijuan Walker down in the minors for a little while longer. Do we have any idea when he'll be back up?
I mean, it could be later next week. I think he's had his AAA start pushed back a day, so he can't just slide in the rotation on Tuesday. So it rules out a two-start week for sure. But, yeah, I'd say late next week at the earliest.
Colorado starting pitcher Tyler Chatwood needs Tommy John surgery, so their rotation has just been battered this year. Chatwood, Lyles, Butler, Chacin, Brett Anderson have all been on the DL. Rough year for the Rockies. Toronto claims starting pitcher Brad Mills off waivers. Anything to this?
Well, it is a little interesting because I was on the show yesterday when we were talking about innings limits,
yeah,
guys, right?
Yep.
So they've got Blue Jays have two in their rotation with Hutchison and Stroman, so Mills gives them a little insurance to give those guys some rest.
Justin Masterson will make a rehab start Sunday. Chris Owings could return from his shoulder injury in a couple of weeks. Toronto has checked on Alfonso Soriano, according to Fox Sports. And let's play some fill in the blank.
Yeah.
And then we'll do some emails and tweets, and then you guys will help us get ready for Fantasy Week 17. Fill in the blank. I gave you multiple choice this time. Fun little format here.
Oh, that's my favorite format.
Yeah, it's everybody's.
Well,
you could just guess. You know, you got a 25% chance of getting it right.
Except exactly. If it's one of those where every single one has none of the above. You know, just like eliminates the benefit of multiple choice.
Yeah, but at least that's a good point. Well, I did that in one of them, but
that's
not all.
That's rude.
Fill in the blank. Fantasy owners looking for steals should add A, James Jones, B, Eric Young Jr., C, Jerod Dyson, or D, someone else.
I would like to answer A, because certainly there are other players that
you say A, James Jones.
James Earl Jones.
James. Yeah. Okay, I was going to do a James Earl Jones impression, but I can't.
Go the distance.
I wonder what his middle name is.
Yeah, oh, James Jones? Yeah, find out.
Look it up.
That website, Baseball Reference, probably knows everything, including his time of birth.
You know, you're wearing the Rejects League sweatshirt again, you know, with the Star Wars font.
Yeah, oh,
so,
yeah.
So you should be doing the, you know, Luke, I am your father.
I can't do a James Earl Jones, so I'm not going to.
James Stephen Jones. What a missed
opportunity.
He was born in 1988, too, like the height of James Earl Jones mania.
Okay, Al, you're
so,
saying
yeah,
James Jones.
Jones. I mean, yeah, sure, in a shall league, I'm sure there's somebody else available that you could pick up. But out of these options, he's the one that I trust for playing time.
Scott? Yep.
Out of these options, I'm trying to think quickly if there's someone else who's not of these options.
All these
How
guys,
about Rajai Davis? Would you rather have him than these three? I think I'd still rather have James Jones.
Ugh. I do trust him for the most playing time, but
I
think
steal one base last week. It made me so angry.
He could stink. Like, he could just stop hitting, and that's that. I'll say I'd rather have Rajai Davis if it is specifically steals.
I picked these three guys because they're owned in 30% of leagues or fewer. All right, number two. The best DL stash is A, James Paxton, B, Michael Pineda, C, Shane Victorino, D, A.J. Pollock.
I'll go again, A, James Paxton.
Ooh.
Is James always A?
Yeah, and it's always a Mariner.
I'm going to say Shane Victorino here, actually. I know he's had two or three setbacks, supposedly on the verge of returning again. We have no reason to assume he's not going to be the must-start outfielder he's always been when he does get back, if he gets back. We have plenty of reason to wonder how good James Paxton is going to be, though I do think he's definitely second best on this list.
The next impact prospect is A, Maikel Franco, B, Javier Baez, C, Rob Refsnyder, D, someone else.
I'm going to go with D, someone else, and I'm going to go with Trevor May here.
Okay.
Because the Twins actually have an opening in the rotation right now, Ricky Nolasco. I don't know that Chris Johnson's going to be the long-term solution there. And if they trade Kevin Correa, there's another opening. And between him and Alex Meyer, I think both will probably see some time later this year. I think May is the guy who makes a fantasy impact.
I go Franco. I'm just a little skeptical of May making a real impact, even if he does come up. Could be a Rafael Montero situation. Mm. So I'm going Franco.
All right, blank will win people their fantasy leagues. A, Joaquin Benoit. B, Arizmendi Alcantara. C, this podcast. D, Jeff Locke. E, all of the above. Or F, none of the above.
F, none of the above.
You should at least go C.
I know.
Be a company man. I'm going to be the company man, especially since I just knocked the show earlier.
Yeah, we knew you were kidding, though. So this podcast will win people their fantasy leagues. I hope that's true.
How about B and C?
Arizmendi Alcantara and this podcast will win the people.
Yeah,
their
that combination.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Power, steals, and
I don't think
a lot of bad puns.
Individually will.
Okay. It works for me. Next up, last one. Fill in the blank. The best way to play fantasy baseball is A, standard roto, B, head-to-head points, C, head-to-head categories, D, they're all great, just play.
I mean, it's probably D. I don't think it's any secret I prefer head-to-head points of the three, but I'm happy to play all of them.
D for me, too. And E, all of the above, plus sim games.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about sim games. Fine, yeah. I'll choose D, too. Well, that was really gutsy of us. All right, let's do some emails and tweets here from Aaron. Kershaw, will he be the most valuable pitcher in the second half, and does Yasiel Puig get back on track?
Do we need to specify Aaron with an A?
Aaron with an
A.
The underscore Kaluza on Twitter.
Because I'm not going to lie, when you said it, I was thinking E.
Aaron.
Aaron Burr.
Kershaw going to be the most valuable. Yeah, Aaron Burr.
Wasn't Aaron Cerrone just, you know, like hand delivering a tweet?
It wasn't.
Yeah. Well, that wasted a lot of time.
Yeah, it did.
Yes, Kershaw's going to be the most valuable pitcher. And yes, Puig begins to hit for power again. I assume that's the gist of the question.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
Daniel Sahar, how many second half homers are coming for J.J. Hardy? And will Mike Minor get his crap together?
Yeah, I'll start with Hardy first.
Start it.
Ponder Mike Minor's crap. I'll say 10 for Hardy.
I was going to be a little more ambitious to go 12, but we're in the same ballpark.
We are.
Okay. And will Mike Minor get his crap together?
Yes.
I think he will, but he's been worse than I gave him credit for because he's just really not missing very – I mean, he's missing bats and he's getting strikeouts, but he's not getting swings and misses.
W.C. Thompson, one DL slot between Garrett Cole or Andrew Cashner, or should I drop one for a pitcher I can use now?
That's tough.
I think I'd hold on to both.
I think he only has one slot.
One slot, yeah. So drop if you got Odrisamer Despaigne.
Oh, I was
Odrisamer.
I was thinking there was
an
option.
I've been Herkified.
I was assuming since drop one for a pitcher I can use now as a question that he could opt to keep one on his bench.
All right. Well, if you were going to keep one, who would it be? Cole or Cashner?
Cole.
All right. Timothy Lee, what do I do if my league never trades, even if the trade favors them?
Change leagues.
I guess, yeah. I mean, that's not your game. Find a different game.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying. Brandon James, who do you guys think is more likely to rebound next season, Will Myers or Joey Votto?
I think they both will. Votto, I think any struggles he's had are related to this injury he has going on. And I would assume an off-season of rest would be enough to put it behind him, and he'll get back to being at least a second-round caliber player.
I'll go Votto here. I mean, I think that I agree, Scott, that they both will. But I got just that lingering doubt that maybe Will Myers won't be all that we hoped he would be. And we know what Joey Votto can do.
Yeah.
Greg Ward, more droppable, Chu or Minor?
I don't advise either.
Yeah, if you're making us pick, I'll pick Minor.
I'm actually going to pick Chu.
You're gonna pick me? Sorry.
I have less confidence in him rebounding, and if you're to the point that you're considering dropping him, I feel like you're pretty set in the outfield, and you don't really need bench outfielders like you need bench pitchers.
Here's a question from Frank, who is giving us our autocorrect question of the day. Combo Gillespie worth owner in a 10-man league format. what do you guys think about Combo Gillespie? Is he worth owner?
I like Combo Diaz myself.
Who's that?
Jumbo Diaz.
Oh.
Kind of sounds like Combo, no?
Yeah, it could easily, but I think Jumbo doesn't autocorrect, you know?
Oh, okay.
For some reason, Connor did.
Isn't that Juan Diaz in our database?
Yeah, it is. Okay. So
Reds reliever,
dull.
For what it's worth.
Yeah.
Combo Gillespie.
No.
No.
It's too shallow. I think 12 might actually be too shallow unless it's just on a ride the hot hand kind of basis.
It's the second day in a row. Some Combo Gillespie love. Gillespie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And actually, third in a row, I think, if you go back to Friday. I don't remember.
People are loving Combo.
Maybe I'm wrong. Michael Waterloo, Duda or Crone in the Categories League?
Duda.
I think I'm going to go Crone in the Categories League. Though it is very close, and they probably both should be owned.
All right, next question is from Quentin from Forest Grove, Oregon. Oh, speaking of Oregon, I heard a cool story on NPR this morning about a Netflix documentary on the Portland something or others.
Trailblazers?
A 1970s, I think the Mavericks. 1970s independent baseball team that was the only minor league team that was not affiliated with a major league club. And it was started by Kurt Russell's dad. What was his first name?
Bill?
Like Bip.
Oh, Bip.
Or something like that. And he was an actor on Ponderosa. And Kurt Russell was on the team. They were like a big baseball family. And they had all these tryouts for First of all, the people from Portland were like very against it. They didn't want this Hollywood guy coming in starting this team. And they staged these tryouts that were like a casting call. And all these like rejects came. And they were kind of bad boys. Like Kurt Russell was saying, I heard on the interview that one of them like got in a fight with his manager. One of them slept with his manager's wife. So for whatever reason, they were outcasts from other teams. And they came together and they actually formed like a pretty good team for 6 seasons. And it was a very interesting feature I heard on the radio, and I really want to watch the documentary, which is something. If you, I'll look up the documentary name. I know it has the word bastards in it, so let me find that for you. Netflix documentary.
You know, you remember Matt Franco, former Mets, Braves. I don't know who else he played for. Corner infielder, first baseman mostly.
Sure.
No, I don't. But no. Go ahead.
Kurt Russell's nephew, fun fact.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the Portland Mavericks. Okay, and I'll read this question, and then I'll give you the name of the documentary for all you baseball fans. Grade the trade. Trades. First trade in a 10-team categories league. Gave up Beltre and Archer for Sandoval and Kershaw, and I have Nolan Arenado. So gives up Beltre and Archer. He'll plug in Arenado at third or Sandoval, and he gets Clayton Kershaw too.
I like that. I mean, it's mostly about Kershaw distinguishing himself from Beltre, but with Arenado there, I think it makes it easier to do.
Grade it.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's the whole game. B minus.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to ask you to repeat the trade. So I get enough.
Beltre and Archer for Sandoval and Kershaw. And he has Arenado.
Yeah. B minus.
All right. Next up. Oh, same guy. Different trade. Giving up Dozier and Braun for Mike Trout. And he has Daniel Murphy to plug in for Dozier. 10-team categories.
Oh, wow. I mean, even it's good even without that contextual credit. I give it a minus.
B plus.
All right, Kurt Russell's dad's name is Bing Russell, and the movie is called The Battered Bastards of Baseball, about the Portland Mavericks. Matt Harshbarger, 12-team head-to-head categories league. I have a first-base dilemma. I have Hosmer and Alan Craig. Craig's been riding the pine lately, only used when Hosmer has an off day. So can I drop Alan Craig for C.J. Cron or Connor Gillespie?
I would drop Craig for Cron.
Is this a categories league?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I could do that in that format.
Would you drop Charlie Morton or Jimmy Nelson for Jake Odorizzi?
Morton.
I would do either one, but Morton first.
Here's one from Zach. Good morning, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Nah.
Any idea?
No.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
What is that?
Those are... Daniel's buddies in the Old Testament. Oh. They were in the fiery furnace.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
No, I don't have much biblical knowledge. What are your guys' thoughts on adding defensive stats to fantasy baseball leagues? Wouldn't you like to see Cespedes get some extra points when he guns a guy down from the left field corner?
Here's the thing. I mean, this is why I like Sims, because you get a little of that built in. Mm-hmm. But... doing it in a fantasy league, I mean, if you're doing it with points, I think it becomes very complicated. And I'm not exactly sure how else you would do it other than just to simulate it. So,
well, I guess you could do a category for like outfield assists or, you know, errors.
I think if you kept it simple, like if you had just a small number of defensive stats, yeah, I think that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's almost, yeah. I think it would make fantasy baseball less accessible to, you know, first-time players. It would be more intimidating. Like, nobody's going to jump into fantasy football and do an IDP league, I would think. I would think that'd be less likely. And Sam and Raleigh, this will be our last one. In a points league, can you rank who would be the better pickup rest of season? Trevor Bauer, Jimmy Nelson, Tim Lincecum, or Wade Miley?
Mm. Between Bauer and Nelson for me, I think I'll go Bauer there. Very close.
I think because it's a points league, and maybe this was part of your consideration, but
Sparpiness.
Yeah, I'm assuming Nelson would help a relief pitcher more than Bauer at starting pitcher, and that's why I'd go with him. But he said rank, so should I add the other two in here?
Sure.
Nelson, Bauer, Lincecum, Miley.
All right, let's do some hitter stuff and pitcher stuff for next week. Scott White.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant we were done with the podcast when you said that'll be it.
No, I think we've got about 10 more minutes, and this is going to be a short show. I'm very sorry, everyone. We got a very late start because of the power outage here. But you know what? There's not much going on right now, so I guess today was a good day to have a short show. Go ahead, Scott. Give us the best and worst matchups and some sleepers for Week 17. Start. This is not this weekend. We did that yesterday. This is starting Monday, Week 17. Not the three-day week, a seven-day week starting Monday. Go ahead.
Okay, so the best matchups are the Tigers, White Sox, Indians, Yankees, and Athletics. And I would say this is one of those weeks where when I pick five good matchups, five bad matchups, they really do stand out as the best and worst matchups as opposed to picking five from eight equivalent ones.
Okay.
Especially on the bad side. Let me go over those. The Rays, Giants, Cincinnati Reds, Cardinals, and the Cubs are the worst matchups. Now, I'll add actually that only the top four are really that bad. The Cubs as the fifth worst matchup is kind of a stretch because I need to have a fifth one. two of those teams, the Rays and the Cardinals, play five games, which obviously factors into that. The Rays were the worst matchups because they're going against Wainwright, Lynn, Lester, Lackey, and then Peavy in those five games. Not that Peavy's so tough, but you know, four of them are good. Okay, so some hitters affected by these matchups.
I have your list of sleepers if you'd like me to read them to you, if that would help.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I got them here, too.
Oh, okay.
You know, a lot of the sleepers weren't actually picked out because they have good matchups. Some of them, for example, I like Corey Dickerson this week because the Rockies are at home for all six games, five of them righties. They're going against the Nationals and Pirates rotation, so the matchups aren't like crazy good, but I think Dickerson, looking at his home splits and knowing he's going to play against all those righties, I think he's a really good bet to bounce back in a big way. I did pick Teixeira as I had the Yankees as the fourth best matchups. Teixeira is a good start this week. All the games are at home, and we know he takes advantage of that short porch and right. I like Scooter Jeanette this week with the Brewers facing only one left-handed pitcher. He's been terrific as long as he's played. Kurt Suzuki's an interesting one. I don't really like him for the second half, but the Twins have good matchups this week. Three of them are lefties, and he's sitting like well over 300 against lefties. All of them are at home, and he's sitting like 344 at home. Mm. So I think he's a good sleeper at catcher. And somebody you might consider sitting for him, actually, is Derek Norris. Even though the A's were listed among the teams with good matchups, they're facing six righties. Every game's against a righty. So it's a better chance he'll sit those. Plus, Josh Reddick is potentially on the verge of returning, and that could cut into Norris's at-bats as much as Vogt's and John Jaso's. And he hasn't been particularly good recently.
Yeah.
That doesn't help either.
Right. Did you say Torii Hunter?
I did not say Torii Hunter, but yeah.
He had a great week going into the All-Star break. He just got super hot.
He is on the sleepers list for this week. So I'm not going to read it all the names off to you because I want to keep something. Yeah. Some reason to keep you coming back, but he's on there as well as some of the other names I've mentioned. A couple sits here real quick. Jennings, who plays for the Rays, they have the worst matchups, like I said, only five games. And all those games are, I would sit him based on that.
Okay.
I would also sit Arenado, who's actually bad at home. And like I said, those matchups aren't great for the Rockies. And Brad Miller, who's batting like 150 at home and has cooled off significantly.
Yeah, he sucks again.
Yeah.
Way to go, Brad Miller.
So He's a sit for this.
He's Bad Miller again.
Bad Miller all over again.
All right, let's talk pitchers here, Al.
All right. I'd like to make a quick Week 16 note.
Yes.
Because at the time that I wrote the pitching column for Week 16, it appeared that Adam Wainwright and Julio Teheran would be starting this weekend. They are not.
Okay, and so, neither is Chris Sale, which we didn't talk about on the podcast yesterday.
Right, and neither is Chris Sale. So all our two-start pitchers next week. Actually, I need to – yeah, Sale is two. So, yeah, all three are two-start pitchers next week. But, all right, getting back to Week 17 – they're the exceptions because it's a lot of number four or five starters getting two starts next week. So pretty bad selection of quality two-start guys for next week. But there are a lot of them.
Who are some guys that we might want to gamble on then?
The aforementioned Jimmy Nelson.
Okay. What are his matchups?
And his matchups are at home versus the Reds versus the Mets.
All right.
So, I think he's worth starting. And as Scott pointed out, especially in leagues where he can use him as a reliever. Matt Shoemaker gets two at home, and I like him a little better at home than on the road, and I think he's got good strikeout potential, you know, pretty much anywhere. So he's a good sort of borderline start. Jake Odorizzi, even though only one of his starts is at home, it's the weekend start versus the Red Sox. His first start is at St. Louis. Good pitcher's park, plus a lineup that just still hasn't really gotten it together this year. So I like Odorizzi this week. Let's see, going a little deeper, Jake DeGrom at Seattle, at the Brewers. He's more towards the bottom of my borderline list, but he has been doing well against teams that are more aggressive, and the Brewers certainly fit that category, so he should have at least one good start there.
But you're going Jimmy Nelson over DeGrom?
I am definitely going Jimmy Nelson over DeGrom.
All right.
Yep. In fact, yeah, here's the bottom of my borderline list. After DeGrom, Willy Peralta, Ryan Vogelsong, Justin Verlander, John Lackey, and finally Colin McHugh. And I don't find any of those guys really all that inspiring. So in terms of your borderline options this week, they're not great.
All right, more on that on our video show. And, of course, you can read Al's column. You can read Scott's column. Go to fantasynews.cbssports.com. Thank you all for emailing and tweeting us and being part of the show. We appreciate it. We're back on Monday. Getting back to the basics. Yeah, I know, right? Some games and recaps to read, box scores to pour over, and all that and more on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you noon Eastern time on the video show and Monday on the podcast for Scott White and Al Melchior. I'm Adam Azer. See you.